Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Men Matter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving. Mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love the Lord our God, a King. He's coming back. I'm serious. His return is imminent. His return is imminent. Now, I'm not saying that lightly. I don't know how to make it clearer. I thank God that He gave us things in time to make a sober choice. Now, I've been talking about His imminent return since November 2017. It has steadily been on my heart, and I thank the Lord, I thank God, I thank the Father, I thank our Father God that He's given us 3 years of grace. It's almost November again. In November, just before Thanksgiving, it'll be 3 years. But I thank God for the grace that He's given us. Now, His return is imminent. That means any moment now. And I thank God for all the broadcasts that he enabled me to do since then. Now, the Lord give you things in time for you to make a sober choice. And this is what He said the week before, the Saturday just before Thanksgiving in 2017. He said, "Tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left." Now, it's been a long time since I heard that kind of language. Modern day pulpits don't preach like that like they used to. In the 80s, you always heard that His return is imminent and be ready that you be not left. Well, it's been a long time since I heard that. That's why that morning when He spoke that, I sat straight up in my bed, because preachers don't preach that way anymore. They preach smoother things than that. And I don't want people to be caught off guard. I want you to understand there are so many thoughts and opinions, but the only thing you can bank on is the Word of God. Now, I've been going to church all my life, like I said the last two Sundays. I grew up in church. My father and mother, they were pastors. And they, Methodist pastors, my dad was a Methodist pastor, and they both worked hard in the ministry. And they labored with ministry. They were true pastors, true people of God. My dad lived the life, and my mother, she would always pray every night. When I walked past her room, which was near mine, I would walk past her room to go to my room to go to sleep. And she'd be on her knees praying or studying, or both. She'd pray, and then she'd pray for the family. Then she'd study a while, then she'll go to sleep. Now, this was all of my life. I thought it was normal. I thought everybody's mother did that. And my dad would write sermons on Saturdays. And they prepared. And I saw my mother share my father with the Lord. So I used to want to go fishing or something, but when I knew that he was studying, he was doing God's work, I didn't bother him. And I'm just a kid. You know, children take cues from their parents, and they learn. Now, my dad, he took me fishing at times, but most of the time on Saturday, he was preparing a sermon. And I thank God for my parents. Now, going to church all my life, I saw a lot of things. And I got saved as an adult, though I had good parents. And that's just the way it happened. Don't think your children are automatically saved just because you've been good parents. Don't think just because you're the pastor of a church and you take your children to church that they get it. You know, when I had a shop pastor, I was working on his car, and a lady that I went to church with, she brought her children to church all the time. And the pastor went and talked to her two sons, and they were young. They were almost teenagers. And he asked them how to get saved. They couldn't tell him. And he explained the gospel to him. Now, I know this woman took her children to church all their lives. And he came and told me what had happened. I was amazed. And I wasn't too amazed because I grew up in church and I didn't always know. So, now this is the thing. The Lord's got to return. And when His return is imminent. And I want you to understand that God's got to keep his word. If we are not saved and living the life of Christ and living a holy life, a loving life, we can be lost. And I know that there are so many doctrines out there that tell people that once you get saved, you're saved forever. But that's not scripturally sound. This is why the Lord put this on my heart today, the day I'm doing the broadcast. Now, this is all the broadcasts are pre-recorded. Now, this is Matthew 25. Now, listen to what Jesus taught. Now, this is Jesus talking now about the time that we happen to be living in. This is Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, they're about to receive the return of the Lord. These are the people of God. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. Five were wise, five foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, what's the purpose of having a lamp that burns oil to make light and you don't have oil in it? It's no good. It's no good. It can't serve its purpose. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, they had some oil within because they were God's people. But they didn't take any oil with them. Some people take time and get to know the Lord and study and ask the Lord questions so that they can grow from glory to glory. Some people keep their heart nourished with the Word of God. Some people actually pay attention to what the Lord is saying when other people take things lightly and their life gets away from them. This is where he's going with this parable. He said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, tarry means wait. So I'm going to read it in modern English. While the bridegroom waited to come, they all slumbered and slept. They went about their daily lives, waiting on him to return. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out and meet him. He's here now. Go meet him. Then those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now this is the bridegroom is the wedding. You're at the wedding. You don't have oil in your lamps. What's the purpose? Five were ready. Five were not. Five, they were all caught off guard. But five were ready to meet the Lord. Now, I don't know much about Jewish weddings, but if you understand Jewish weddings, this was their tradition. And it meant more to Jewish people because they understood all the concepts of Jewish weddings. But look at what we can gather from this. If you receive God's word, you know to do right. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And some people will say, yeah, but preacher, we're not saved by works. But the word said, work out your own salvation. You're supposed to keep yourself in line. Jesus saved you from sin. Why consider to go back in sin? Now, because I said that, I want to make something certainly clear. This is very important. From the beginning, When God told gave Israel Canaan land, where they are now, they used to be Canaan land, not Palestine. It used to be Canaan land, and the Philistines were there. But the Philistines stayed there, and they named it after the Philistine. Palestine means Philistine. But God gave that land to Israel. But guess what they were supposed to do? They were supposed to drive out all of the Canaanites, which included the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Amorites, the Perizzites. All of them were supposed to be driven out. There were so many tribes there. And there were giants in those days. Literal 14, 15 foot giants in those days. 10 foot giants in those days. They had to drive them out. They had witchcraft going on. All kind of evil. They were supposed to be driven out. And the Lord Joshua told them not to make deals with them, but drive them out. Well, Joshua died. And eventually Caleb died. Now, after Joshua died, they had the whole nation had vowed to drive these Canaanites out. But Judah and Simeon drove, they won 7 battles and drove people out of their land. The other tribes started driving them out and compromised. The tribe of Dan, they let the people chase them up the mountains. They never really got their land the way that they were supposed to. They got some of it, but not all of it. Now, this is the problem. Because they let the witchcraft people stay there, and they were full of idolatry, and they married some of them, and they started acting like them, that's how Israel got into idolatry. Now, what does that mean to me in modern times? Now, this didn't happen in one generation. This happened over time. The first generation did all right. The second one did worse. The third one did even worse. And then when they started having kings, they started doing a little better if they had a good king. But the problem is when you have compromise, you have problems. This is why Jesus had to give this parable. Because you're not only supposed to receive what God is saying, you're supposed to drive out every evil word of Satan. You're supposed to receive the life of God, which is representative of oil in a lamp. And you're supposed to let your light shine in the earth. And you're supposed to drive out the darkness that's against you. You're supposed to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset you. Now, most Christians don't do that. They don't want to sin. They get saved. They ask the Lord to they learn God's word. But they don't drive out their Canaanites out of their heart. Everything that's evil, everything that's wrong, the Lord is there to help you. And you just got to drive it out. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. 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 Go to the website and listen to this program because it's about to go off, but the Lord has given much more information. And the wisest people are going to go on the website and hear the whole 30 minutes. That's just the way it is. The Lord do things for a reason. If you love God, receive his word. Don't let your heart go south. Don't let your heart falter. Fill your heart with the word of God. Don't focus on not doing wrong. Focus on learning God's word. And while you're strong, drive out the things of darkness. Don't just stop doing something. Now, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to hate the things that's wrong and love the things that's right. I don't know how to do it. I want you to help me. And he taught me he taught me how to work on it. As I received the word of God, some things just fell off my life. But some things I had to reject. Now, that five virgins were wise, 5 were foolish. And then when the bridegroom came, the wise virgins were ready to go. And the foolish virgins, look what happened. He said, while they went out to buy, this is verse 10, while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, there are people who love God, they are Christians, and they're not going in the rapture because they were not ready when the Lord returns. Now, he wants all of his children to be ready. If you know you're not ready to go with Jesus, if he came right now, repent and ask the Lord to help you. It's very important. The Lord wants you to go with him. He loves you. Now, He don't want you to be left here. Sometimes teenagers are going to be left. Sometimes one of the parents may be left, or both of the parents, and the children gone. Oh, now, this thing is real. I know it sounds absurd if you don't believe God, but you're going to face this, whether you believe it or not. You will see what happens. Now, the foolish virgins ended up being cast in the outer darkness. He said, afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And to one he gave five, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey. Then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same, and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckon with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained other two beside them. See, some people can do great things. Some people can do good things or wonderful things. Everybody can do something. We ought to be able to multiply. Now, these two, the first two of the three, they multiplied. They were fruitful because that's why their master gave them something to work with. They were fruitful. But they multiplied it. To multiply is to at least double. And they did. So his Lord said, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping that where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth. So, Lord, look, there you have what's yours. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Wicked, slothful. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I strawed not. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and when I... And then at my coming I should have received my own money with usury. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him which has 10. God is going to reward the most faithful people. And that's a fact. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So when the Son of Man come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set up the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Look, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye be blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And they were faithful, because they were. He said, I was hungry, and ye gave me nothing to eat, no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or in prison, or sick, or and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say to you, inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The way we treat each other, my friend, is the way we treat God. The way we are with each other is the way we treat the Lord. So, we're waiting on his return. We need to live a life worthy of his return. If we care about people at all, we need to live the life of God. We need to live in his presence. We need to live for Jesus. We need to do the things that's right. We need to do what we know is right. We need to go forward and not backwards. This is why this is very important that we do. The enemy is trying to stop all the virgins, all the 10 virgins. The virgins represent God's people. The virgins don't represent people of the world. The virgins represent God's people. Five were wise, five were foolish. Now, in my history of going to church, people do all kind of things. I saw all kind of things. There are tares among the wheat. There are strong Christians and there are weak Christians. There are all types. I've seen church unify and I've seen church split. But this is one thing that people have in common. If they have a good pastor, just like Israel had a good king, they do well. They prosper. The families that take their children to church and teach them at home and live the life of God, their children are the most apt to finish college and be productive citizens and get married and stay married. Their life will usually work because their parents showed them what to do. I've seen single women take their children to church and teach them the things. They wasn't always all excited about it, but they went. And they finished school. When they ran into problems, they had a wise pastor to give them good counsel. That's what I like about smaller churches. Smaller churches, the pastor can work with people. Now, huge churches, the mega churches, they don't have time for that many people. And usually, you know, families need the work of a pastor is very important. When you got thousands and thousands of people, you need a lot of pastors to help the people grow and learn. Pastors don't just preach. A lot of people focus on preaching. Pastors minister to people. Teachers teach the people. And the people who get the most out of church are the people are the Sunday school students in the church. They get an understanding. The students. It's not just about going to sit with people and study. I'm talking about people that study at home. They study to live. They put oil in their lamps. They get their questions answered. They drive the darkness out of their life. They learn to live a holy, pure life. And I'm not talking about the holiness religion. Because that, you know, people made they do a few works of the law and call it holiness. But I'm talking about people who live right. Not people who focus on dressing a certain way, not wearing earrings, not wearing jewelry, not wearing pants like the holiness churches do. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about people who are sincere and genuine in their love walk. Whether you wear pants or not, jewelry or not. Some people who don't wear jewelry and don't wear pants, that don't mean they're not mean. Because I've been to a holiness church too. Some of the people are sweet. They are wonderful people. They focus on not doing certain things, but they have a sweet spirit about them. And then there are people who are angry because they keep all these laws and traditions, and they're mean. They're not going to be raptured. That if you mean-hearted, don't expect to be raptured unless you repent. If you fuss at people as a way of life, if you're mean and bitter, that's not going to heaven with you. Just like an adulterer can't take his adultery to heaven with him. A fornicator can't go to heaven. You know, a homosexual, everybody know they can't go to heaven too. You got preachers that'll put them in heaven, but that don't do them no good, because when they die, they're not going. Then the liars and the thieves, they're not going. What make you think a person that live in bitterness is going too? And won't forgive. They mean as a crab. They're not going to heaven. They're going to be caught off guard. The Lord has been pleading with people for years about doing the right thing. He don't want his people here. His blood is powerful enough to wash you from your sin. But you can't go back and eat off the tree all over again. Are you kidding me? And the preachers that allow this, saying once you're saved, you always saved, they went beyond the mercy of God. That's not what the word said. The word said we are saved from the sins that are past. The present sins, if we're saved from the sins that are past and we're endeavoring to know God, that means we stopped our sinning. Jesus told the woman that he forgave that was caught in adultery. He told her, my friend, to go and sin no more. He meant it. Now, if you go and sin anyway, you're on your own. Now, I'm saying these things because people go through all kind of things. For all, you know, the enemy is trying to talk you out of salvation. He's trying to get you interested in the world if you walked away from it. He do all kind of things. He's in overdrive now. And my pastor said something years ago. He said, the closer we get to Christ's return, he made a V with his fingers in the air. And he was bringing his both fingers down to a point. He said, the closer we get to the kingdom of Christ's return, the closer we get to the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is desperate. So the enemy is trying to get people off track. And people listen to who they look to. And most time it's a pastor. And if a pastor teach wrong, remember, sometimes pastors are trying to console people, and people are sinning, they need to repent so they don't go to hell. And pastors, when I was coming up in church, they used to shout, don't sin. Well, then you become sin conscious. But the perfect way is to hear what God is saying. Study the word. Listen to the word. If you don't like to read, you know, it's understandable people don't like to read, but this is for your life. You know, we have modern technology. If you really don't want to read, you can get the word on your cell phone and listen to it. But you need to be reading and studying God's word and listening to it. You need to do it all. Because if you don't have oil in your lamp, the word gives you strength and stamina. And when you receive that strength and stamina, you have resilience against the pressure of the world, just like a helium balloon. You can take a regular old balloon without any, and it's deflated. It's not going to rise up. The pressure of the world will hold it down, and the gravity of the world will hold it down. But if you fill it with helium, it's just like you putting the word of God in you. Now you can overcome the pressure of the atmosphere and rise up, even against gravity. That's what you're doing in Christ. The word of God will give you strength. I got this from my wonderful pastor. The word of God will give you strength to live by. And the Lord will train you against the wiles of the devil. We need this. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. We need this. And the wise pastors, they give good counsel. The foolish, there are foolish pastors out there. And they'll preach anything to get money and fame. And people look to them. And when people listen to whoever they look to, they trust that person. And I've seen this too many times. If the pastors preach things that's not true and people heard it too long, they have appetite for the wrong thing and they resist the truth when you tell them the truth, unless they have a strong love for God. Some people have the ability to break through all forms of deception, and it's not easy. sometimes you know, people got to be truthful with you, and you got to love the truth of God's word, or you'll be seduced into believing a lie. Then there's culture. What you believe, what you've received as a culture, is sometimes, if it's wrong, it's seducing you. But when you receive the light of God's word, you can overcome your culture, your surrounding. In other words, your first authority figure shaped the way you see God. If you had stingy parents, penny-pinching parents, you can't believe, it's going to be very difficult to believe that God is generous. If you have mean parents, it's going to be very difficult to believe that God is benevolent and loving. If you have loving parents, it's going to be hard for you to believe that God will judge. If you have balanced parents, you're going to be able to cooperate with the Lord. It'll be easier for you. That doesn't mean you will, but it'll be much easier because you don't have those hurdles to jump. This is why training and good teaching is very important. And I'm sorry that there are wolves out there teaching all kind of foolishness. And there are people misrepresenting God. But the Word of God will purely represent Him. And it's up to you to receive the pure love of His Word and walk in it and live by it and drive out the evil witchcraft Canaanites and the ways of wickedness. You got to drive that junk out of your life.